you're taking a ride on the Freedom Train, your community resource podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, riding with me is my homies, Mr. Patrick Irvin and Mr. Jamie Bashan. The Freedom Train is sponsored by PACS, Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PACS, Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. While you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _FreedomTrain. Like us on Facebook. And if all else fails, make sure you subscribe to the Freedom Train podcast on either Google Play or iTunes. And as soon as the episode is live, it'll come right to your phone. You can see the notification at the top of your phone. All you got to do is click on the button and listen to the show. And it really go down. Jamie, Pat, what up?
What's happening, fellas?
Chilling.
Man, look at him. It's a lot of craziness going on, but you know. We were snapping before the show, but hey, man, I had to get that off my chest.
That's the phrase I only hear in the South.
Snapping?
Nah, look at him.
Oh, that's because people up north don't really be feeling it when they say stuff. That's why. When you say, "Hey, man, look at him!" Hey, look at him. That mean you finna go in.
The matter is serious, and it requires your attention. That's what that means.
Right. Man,
I never heard something. I only hear in the South. Well, look at him.
Yes, sir.
How do you spell that?
Look at him.
Yeah.
L-O-O-K-A-H-E-A-R. Just put it all together. Just put it all together. Look at here. L-O-O-K-A. Look at here. H-E-F.
And it's all one word. You can't stop. No syllables. Just look at here.
All right.
It's like a lot of people from Atlanta don't say they from Atlanta. They say they from Atlanta.
Atlanta.
A-T-S, y'all. Atlanta.
They leave out a few of those letters.
Hey, man, you know. If you ain't leaving out letters, you ain't from the South.
Letters are kind of, their importance is not as necessary as it make it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, communication is about getting stuff across. Letters sometimes get in the way of that. Look at French.
True.
French Montana.
I mean, it's bastardized as English is messed up half the time anyway. And also, hold on, while we speaking in English, and I hate you damn grammar Nazis on, like, social media. Sometimes, did you get the message, you fucking prick? Like, did you get the message? Yo, I hate that. So it's not like, oh, it's, what? Like, shut up, man. Like, come on, dog. Like, if I'm writing a term paper, I know how to do all my verbs and subject noun agreements. But, man, I'm sitting over here communicating on social media. Relax. I hate when people do that.
You spelled that wrong.
Yeah, this is a pet peeve when people say this. Shut the hell up. Are you grading papers? No, you're here scrolling like everybody else. Scroll and shut the hell up for you grammar Nazis. All right. I don't know where that came from, but I just felt it.
Yeah.
I had it on my heart.
Grammar Hitler. What's wrong with you? All up in. Hey, Jamie, I got you, dog. Don't even worry about it. Grandma Hitler. Forget you, Grandma. I got something for you. My crowd got something for you, too, Grandma. There you go.
There you go.
You Grandma Nazis. There you go. There you go.
Oh, man. We got to upgrade our sound effects.
We
got to do that. We got to upgrade that.
It's the last day of Black history.
Straight up.
Man.
It is not leap year.
The last day of the official Black History Month.
Right. The month that we're supposed to take to learn about ourselves, but you know, you got the Super Bowl, and then you got the Oscars, and then you got the NBA All-Star Weekend, and then you got the Grammys, and then you got all this other stuff, Valentine's Day, that people pay attention to. And when it come around for the Black History Month, how can people know more about Martin Luther King and Carter G. Woodson, the actual man who created Black History Week, which turned into Black History Month?
Ooh.
probably the same
reason.
He said
something right there.
They know more about white stuff than black stuff. You know what? People use salt more than they use pepper, too.
That would be true. I'll admit that.
That's a problem.
I don't know what that has to do with this, but I'm a kid. But you know what's funny to me, and I forget who said this. It was just like, you know, why have a, like, and I get it. You know, I get the whole premise. Like, I'm not knocking Black History Month, but I study Black history, culture year-round, and I think that's what's got, because you're going to see all these people that's been posting, oh, this person invented the screwdriver back in, then for the other 11 months out of the year, they don't do anything. They don't dedicate any time to the studies, and that's a trend we got to change. So Black history is important. It's exposing a lot of people, our youth, to, you know, a lot of things that happen to Black people, and it's not just in America. We got to stop focusing just on African-American history, but global African history as well. So, but
well, you know,
that shit year-round.
You cannot separate Black history or African history from American history. Like, it's impossible. You cannot separate it, because if it wasn't for African people, it would not be in America.
Okay,
and so,
exactly.
I do agree that and that this, when we use February to celebrate Black History Month or Black History, World History, whatever, that it should be focused more on not just achievements in America, but worldwide achievements. But to answer your first question, you know, why do we have Black History Month? I mean, you know, and I was at an event Sunday, and the guy from Nigeria asked that same question, because he was kind of puzzled, because he was saying, well, in my country, you know, this is what we learn through song and dance and all these other things, all these activities that we do. And, you know, we just want to be able to convey to people that Black history, Carter G. Woodson went out on a limb to create Black History Month because he noticed that Black history was not readily available for his people. When you're under a system of white supremacy and oppression, part of that is the dumbing down of the person. So when you don't know your history, it's harder for you to identify with your greatness. And for a long time, Black history was not as available as it is now, especially for the common man. So me, you, Pat, because we were fortunate, our parents were smart, for one, and we were fortunate enough to be in privileged situations, and we may not have deemed them situations privileged, but if you look back, we were privileged enough to be able to be in educational settings that help further our knowledge and help further us as people, or as individuals, I should say. But we were able to come across some of this information. I knew, you know, I say it all the time, I grew up with African history, Black history in my house, or like the look of it, but still didn't know specific things. And as I grew older, went to FAMU, I was fortunate enough to take the right classes to learn this. But the average person, even when I'm going out doing On Shows of Giants, I'm learning the average, we don't know our history. We don't know who we are. And that's one of the main reasons why Black History Month exists. Now, it's the onus is on us to take every day to make Black history, to celebrate Black history 365 days out of the week. The onus is on us. And why isn't that happening, to me, is a better question. Why isn't Black America taking advantage of the information that is available? Because if we can Google Nicki Minaj and Remy Martin and all of their little whatever beef they got going on, we should know, in the middle of Black History Month, we should know our own history. If we know more about their beef than Black history, that's how you know we fucking losing.
I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. And it's one thing I also found just through my studies, because a lot of people, like, I see people that have their children reciting a person from history, oh, Martin Luther and da-da-da-da-da, it's not downplaying it, but that's great. But sometimes I think if we start within the history of our own families and we learn that, because I can tell you my curiosity for history started with me learning who the hell my family was. Because a lot of us, we don't know about great-granddaddy and what he did, this, that, and the other, what he was and aspired to. So a lot of times if we take the time out and teach our kids, you know, the history, like, there's doctors right there in your family. Your kids might even know about it, and they want to be doctors and stuff like that. So learning that history in your family, then expounding upon that and learning about the history of African people throughout, you know, world history, I think you got to start somewhere. And I think learning your own family history should be first, then learning all your history as African people as we progress through time, that's equally important, because if you don't know your history, where you come from, how you really know where you're going? History repeats itself, so it's important to know the mistakes of your past. That way you don't make those same mistakes in the future.
But let me ask this, though. So what do we do for, for example, for me to learn about my history on my daddy's side, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. As far as the history from my dad's side, only goes as far as my dad. Only goes as far as what he knows, because don't really have access to other people. But even like people who grew up in certain situations where, yeah, you know you got a grandma, and yeah, you know you got aunties and stuff, but they have no idea where to start, and they're the elders. So what do we do for those as far as, you say, learning your personal history? How would we empower those?
That's actually a good damn question. I would say, because the way I ran into that same situation, I didn't, like, my father's side didn't really know much. Mom's side I knew a little bit more. But what I did was I kind of put myself out there. I knew there was an auntie or uncle somewhere that knew something. I knew it, and I went out and searched that one particular person out. And when I did find it, I found out, man, I got family in Texas and California, so on and so forth. I got one of those last names where you got this last name, we're related. And I finally sought out an elder who actually had this information, and he gave me the whole, I mean, like, pages of family tree. And I really went through and studied it, looked these people up, X, Y, and Z. So I get it, if you come through a dynamic background and, you know, foster care, whatever the case may be, that can definitely be a barrier to it. But I still think it's important for you to at least try. And if you can't find something, still, just study your history.
Well, I guess that's what I'm at. Can you expound on, let me say it like this. Let's say if I'm a person come from a low-income background and I want to find this information, how would that what should that person do to start? Because, and I want to put it in that situation, because I'm trying not to be out, because when people listen to this, I want them to be able to come away with practical things that they can use, even if they're on our economic level or higher or lower. Like, if you're low, if you're impoverished, you live in poverty level, and you want to find this information, but you really don't know where to start, and you know you want to take action, and you could find that ancestor. So what kind of resources could that do you know of that people could use? And I'm asking this because I don't know myself, but what kind of resources do you think people can use to kind of get that start if they may not have access to the resources that you and I may have?
You know what's funny? Like, and I tell kids this all the time that I mentor and I talk to on a daily basis. You ever Googled your name? You ever did that?
Like, yeah, Google, I Googled my name.
Yeah.
Well, it's a lot of white people named Joseph A. Ward, so.
Well, spell it all out. So, like, it kind of is different for me because I don't have a common last name. But when I Googled my name, and I was like, man, I know this person, even people that was, I never even thought of, and that was one way how I started. I literally just Googled my name. And one thing, if you have that disconnect, eventually you will find like an uncle or cousin. Honestly, a lot of it is just word of mouth. So if you know who your mother is, say you don't have the best relationship, find out who her brother is, and try to find one of those people. Even if you're from an impoverished community, you know, get on social media. That's a quick way of how I connected with – I didn't know I even had family in California, Texas at one point. I didn't even know that side of family. And I got on social media, and I, you know, Rashawn, looked it up. And I started connecting with these other people, and I started socializing. So, to me, the power of the Internet is real. You know, social media, even just doing a search engine of looking stuff like that up, that's at least a start you can go to if you don't have, you know, a mom or dad right there readily available to give you that information.
Hey,
that's
man,
one
I
thing
just,
I can throw out there.
I just Googled my name, and the first thing I see is obituaries of old white men named Joseph Arthur Ward. And there's about
so
five
means
of them.
In another life, you were an old white man. So no, now man. I see why
don't
you
hate you, me. Don't you put that on me. I rebuke that. I rebuke that in the name of Pastor Simmons. All right?
Well, that rebuke ain't going too far. But that's one way. Like, I don't have, like, I'm not going to sit here and say I got all the answers for that. You just kind of got to get creative as far as, you know, finding that disconnect and reconnecting with your ancestors and finding out about your family lineage and all that stuff. What you got, Pat? You've been quiet as hell over there.
I know. Quiet man.
I've just been listening. I think in terms of why we have Black history, well, that's pretty, for me anyways, why we have it is because there was a period of time where we didn't have it. Nobody was being taught it, so it needed to be taught. Situations have changed, but we still need it as a reminder, if anything else, for the fact that there was a period of time where we were told we didn't have one. And moving forward to how you can find your family, I mean, there are a bunch of different ways. Like Jamie said, there are Google searches. if you don't have those Google searches, you can go to your city courthouses or your libraries and look up newspaper clippings for obituaries. You can look up marriage records, birth certificates, immigration records. There are many different ways that you can go about at least getting an idea of when somebody was born and when they died, and when major things happened in their lives. Marriage certificates, death certificates, all those things can be looked up. You can even in some areas, if your library has access to it, or I'm sure you can find it on the internet, you can look up names and census reports. You know, if your family filled out a census report back in the old days, or if a census report was filled out for them, tax documents, even if your people were slaves, there were some slaveholders that filled out paperwork with names and ages for their slaves. So there are a bunch of different tools you can get after to find a rough roundabout picture of your ancestors, where they were, when they were, who they married, when they died, what they accomplished throughout their lives. If they earned any sort of degrees, you can look that up. Most records and things of that nature are public domain, especially after the person has passed away. So, you know, just get creative. First, I would start looking for birth certificates. Obviously, you need a name and a county to start that search. But, you know, you start with social media, move on to Google, then start digging into all of the certified records out there, and I'm sure you'll find something. It might take you a while, but you'll find something.
Cool, yep. Cool. Y'all take notes now. Make sure y'all take notes about that. But, you know, I did want to make sure that we take the time to talk about Black History Month in a more concise way. I had a chance to see the Great Griot, Carl Kara Poole's video about Dr. King. She gave her view on the history of Dr. King, and it was pretty good. She was able to break down the actual real truth behind the murder of Dr. King. And the real culprits, you know, basically the United States government being the ones that assassinated Dr. King and framed the other guy, according to all the evidence that was presented in the video that she put together. So I encourage everybody to go to the Great Griot's YouTube channel and check out that video. But it's just no kind of things like that, you know, alternative history that, well, I don't want to use alternative history because it's too close to alternative facts, but real history, I should say. Real history of things that happen other than what we normally learn on a regular basis.
Well, you know, the government, I think it was in 96, got convicted in the court of law. 99. Yeah, for conspiracy to commit murder or conspiracy to assassinate Dr. Martin Luther King. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, conspiracy is a lot different than actually doing it, but, you know, that's where you make your size and you believe what you want to believe. I did want to highlight something Jamie said earlier that I think is super important, and that is the direction we start teaching history from. I think one of the reasons why nobody cares about history is because we start on the wrong end of it. You know, if you're trying to teach me about history and tell me that it's important, and you start 50,000 years ago, you lost me. I don't care. Because I don't see how what happened 50,000 years ago affects me now. Now you have to go through that whole process of explaining it to me. But if you start with, like, something that happened, like, today, and then you start answering the whys by going back in time, you know, Donald Trump got elected. Why? White backlash. Why? Barack Obama got elected. Why? You know, white sympathy. Why? Because they felt bad for what they did for us, to us in the older days, or even now, still currently. Well, what did they do then? Well, they oppressed us and they put us in slavery. Why? You know, and you can just work your way back from there. Now the meaning of it is built in. Now, you know, they're interested. You don't have to give them the why, because just in giving them the history lesson, they get the why. And I just wanted to highlight that, because, you know, when Jamie made that point, that's a point that's not made often enough. So I know that's a tangent, but I did want to highlight that.
Cool. I mean,
I agree with that.
Nah, but that's real. That's real. We would either start, cause I know when we was learning, they would start with the Civil Rights Movement. And that's what all they would teach us, the Civil Rights Movement. But it was, like you say, it was no real connection to the Civil Rights Movement, because we wasn't experiencing those things for us to really have that connection. Now, I know you, I'm sure y'all remember when we was growing up here in Tallahassee, how the Ku Klux Klan used to have their biannual, triannual meetings in Marchtown, Tennessee. Monroe Street. Y'all remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you know, that we saw those things, and of course we didn't necessarily experience the things that people in the 50s and 60s and 30s and 40s experienced, so we wasn't able to really connect with that, and we didn't really know about the 70s and the 80s and why the crack epidemic happened and how that traced back to this and how that traced back to this and all these things, and why, like even the history of the black community with the police, you know, finding out that police are actually the inception of the police, the citizens on patrol rather, are the slave catchers, and that's why cops have existed since like the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s or whatever, because of the laws that they came up to stop slaves from escaping slavery, and they came up with all these mental illnesses and what they call it, the drapetomania, when you're a slave and you want to escape and be free and all these other things here. Like, stuff is never put into context. It's just like, hey, here's Dr. King, here's Rosa Parks, here's Harriet Tubman, here's Jesse Jackson. Now, go read this, and because one of my earliest members of Black History Month in school was this play, and I was supposed to be Jesse Jackson. I don't know why I still remember what my line, but my line was, I am somebody, you are somebody, we are somebody, now let freedom ring. Now, I don't know a damn thing about Jesse Jackson. Didn't know nothing about him when I got off that stage, but I remember them lines. But, you know, if I can remember them lines, I can remember some real history, though. But also, like, I could go back to what we all been really acknowledging, that even the adults around us had no idea what was going on. And if they knew, they didn't have the courage to talk about it.
Ooh, Joseph, I had to call you by your government, man. God damn it, Joseph Bartholomew Ward. That is an excellent point. All right, so ladies and gentlemen. go ahead.
Bartholomew? That's messed up.
I had to throw an extra name in you to make you sound distinguished and all that. All right, so you said the parents not knowing anything. All right, it's going to be hard for a lot of us to admit this, and I'll be the first one to say it. Some of our parents, if you listen to this, didn't really know much about the history, you know, of African-American people or even African people, whatever the case may be. So they didn't really push that onto us, educate us about it, or make that important for us to learn. But that's still no excuse for you as a grown-ass person not to know your damn history. Yes, you didn't grow up in that type of environment, and I'll be the first one. I learned it from different outlets, but not necessarily from right within my household, my mom teaching me this stuff, X, Y, and Z. But, hey, shame on them, whatever the case may be, but that's still not an excuse not to know where the hell you came from, not to know your own family tree, your own family history, and know that you have a history that exceeds beyond the Americas, that was great, that was prominent, that gave birth to every civilization after that. You were the first civilization. So I just, when you said the parents part of it, I know a lot of people probably didn't get that education in history about African people from their parents. They got it as they got an adult, challenged themselves to go out there and read and obtain that information. But moving forward, let's not make that same mistakes our parents did, and let's educate ourselves, and let's give this education to our children, because it's much more important when you teach your children their history versus them learning it somewhere else where it might get misconstrued. That's all I wanted to say. Go ahead. I'm done.
There it is. But, I mean, our generation, you're right, though. Our generation cannot be the ones who don't know. And I know, well, that's one of the reasons why I do what I do on the Shoulders of Giants. And y'all can visit my website at www.ontheshoulders1.com. Yes, I did plug my website. I don't care. I'll do it again. But, but seriously, though, that's one of the reasons why I did what I do. And I try to make it, available, you know. I remember watching the movie when I was growing up. You know, availability is very important. So I put it in many different formats and many different ways that people can access it. But accessing the information, digesting the information, and passing it on to the next generation. You know, our young kids understanding how great our history is, but our kids really understanding how they are still connected to our history. It's not disconnected from them. It's not something that's not a part of them. It is them. And so being able to get them to understand that African history, Black history, American history, world history is their history, and you should know who you are. Like you ask any white kids, you know, where's your family from? England, Germany, France, things like that. As Black kids, where your family from? And of course, we know why that happened, and we know it's because slavery messed that up. But we should still be able to know. I know, like in my family, we're doing our best to trace our roots, and we've been able to go back. Being able to go back to the mid-1800s, but still trying to find more information. And because of what happened, and because a lot of the information has been cut off, and the lineages have been disconnected and all these things, we acknowledging that, we're not going to look over that. But from my understanding, you know, you had literature out for a while, you know, since 1700s. Somebody like Carter G. Whitson coming around in the late 1800s, finding all the information he's been able to find. And people have been putting things out and making things available now. But now, there's no excuse, because then you got a computer in your hand where you can just go to Google. So Man. It's really no excuse now. Like, the next generation should not know. Like, there were barriers in the past, and that's basically, I said in a long way, but in the past, there were barriers, but information was available, but you had probably more barriers than information. Now, those barriers are lifted. The only barrier is a mental barrier that Black people will hold to not actually go seek more information about themselves.
Yo, Joe, you need to drop a bomb on yourself, man. I would kill it right there. Yo. We are in the golden age of information. To be ignorant now is to be willfully ignorant, which is a choice. You can, I tell kids every day, like, why are you asking me a question? Pick up your dumb phone. I call them dumb phones because we don't do anything smart with them. And go to Google search. You can answer that majority of your questions by doing a simple search, reading an article or two, doing some little bit of research, and having an answer for yourself. We don't even do that. That's crazy to me. So the next generation, there should be no excuse, because we're in the golden age of information. All you have to do is pick up a smartphone instead of, you know, Facebooking and Insta, Snapchat, and Gramming. I'd combine them all because I don't really mess with too much. But instead of doing all that, just do a search every now and again. All the questions we have about our lineage or history, you can simply do your own research now. And you mentioned, you know, Carter G. Woodson, like, his books, if we actually read them, they're still applicable to today's environment. But we got to actually go back, research it, gather that stuff, and apply it to our environment, of our current environment, and it'll help us out a lot. So it's no excuse as far as information goes, man.
It's no excuse.
It's no excuse. That's my point.
There is no excuse, but you know, we also have to, and as always, but we also have to acknowledge the fact that and this disconnect in this quote unquote post-racial, diverse, multicultural society that we live in right now, people don't really see a need for that kind of information. Like, people feel like they're protecting their children by keeping them away from this type of stuff. And you know, it's interesting because Dr. Amos Wilson said it in a lecture in the mid-90s. And then, I want to say maybe 5 or 10 years ago, it was verified in the study, a joint study by Harvard and Pittsburgh universities, when Dr. Amos Wilson said it, he said, I wonder why it is that all of the kids that go to pro-black schools end up doing better and having more pride in themselves and not being victimized, while all of the kids that are being protected through ignorance end up being victimized. And then you move forward and you read this study, this joint study by Harvard and Pittsburgh University, that says kids that are raised to have a sense of racial pride do better academically, which translates to higher achievement later on in life. And you begin to really put the pictures together, the pieces together, for why it is important that your kid understand who they are as an individual, who they are as a part of a culture group, and who they are as a part of a racial demographic. And until we can accept the fact that we need to be exposing our children to this type of information, information that's been deemed taboo, regardless of how we like to slice it, black history is a taboo subject. You know, we've been taught that it's taboo. All of the dark workers are bad guys. Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, Kwame Ture, all of those guys are viewed as bad guys, even Huey Newton. Meanwhile, all of the light workers are viewed as heroes. All of the guys that worked on white consciousness, on white psyche, on, you know, you look at all of the incidences that we're taught to celebrate. Jackie Robinson coming into the major leagues, the Louisiana Three, Ruby Bridges and those people integrating schools as kids, you know, them getting bussed off to schools and not having any white kids bussed into any black schools. And then, you know, those are the things we're taught to celebrate. And you look at it, when you really look at how we're taught black history, we're basically taught to celebrate white acceptance. You know, we're taught to celebrate white people acquiescing to whatever. You know, we're not really taught true black history. We're taught to vilify black history. And so when you, you know, when you boil all that down, you do get a cultural group of people that are not only scared of their history, but they don't see the purpose in teaching it. They don't see the person reliving it, and they want to get as far away from it as possible, which is why now you have so many black schools who don't even bother to teach black history during February, and this is a predominantly black school.
Man, you said a mouthful. That's on point right there, though.
A lot of, I went to a HBCU, right? And still to this day, can't have these conversations with a lot of the people that I went to school with. Like, out of the thousands of people that I went to school with, you'd be surprised how many of them came out of the same HBCU I went to and don't know a damn thing about their history or their culture. I've said that it should be mandatory that the Black Archives, every year you have to go to the Black Archives and you have to write a paper about it. It's part of your grade. Every year it should be. Like, we have a museum on campus and folks still don't know the history. Well, you know, but like you said, it's become a part of our culture to only go to what's popular. So we're only going to learn about this part of Dr. King. We're only going to learn because it's like, I'm sorry. I wanted to flip out the other day when I saw here in Tallahassee they did a statue for honoring Rosa Parks. And first thing come to my mind, well, damn, what about Claudette Colvin? I mean, what about all the other people who face the same type of racism and didn't give up their seats and stuff? I mean, I understand what Rosa Parks did, but people have to understand the part that Claudette Colvin played in that too. If it wasn't for Claudette Colvin, for her being arrested for not giving up her seat, you know, that also helped spark the Montgomery bus boycott. But what about, we in Tallahassee, and nobody still don't know about Jackson Patterson. And Jackson Patterson, the two women who sparked off the bus boycott here in Tallahassee. We know more about Rosa Parks than Jackson Patterson. And they affected stuff right here in Tallahassee. Nobody in Tallahassee knows that Famous Amos is from here. And I understand Famous Amos ain't the most important person, but nobody knows that. People don't understand the sacrifices. C.K. They're talking about Dr. King. C.K. Steele used to get his house shot up on the regular. But people don't know that. And when we talk about that history, man, it's important for us to know that. Like, Tallahassee, Florida has a rich black history, but people don't know that.
Well, and one thing that Pat did say that I thought was good. Oh, man, how should I even say this? I'm trying to find my words here live on air. But you were talking about how people don't find value in black history. And that's so important because there's so much value to it. And my question to you, Pat, is how do we create that value again here in 2017? Because as you know, assimilating is important. Everybody wants to assimilate to the culture that's dominant. So we don't want to embrace our African nature. We don't want to embrace that African spirit whatsoever. We feel like the more we get away from that, the more we'll be more accepting to the whatever society is dominating right now. So how do we create that value? I think that's the main thing. Because if I come out here and I'm speaking facts, whether it's on social media, talking black this or black that, you know what they're going to call me? Oh, you think you fake woke. You out here, you think you woke. Oh, you one of them conscious cats. Don't you kicking knowledge? That's what they're going to say to me.
Even you Muslim? They always hit you with that.
Yeah, like, yo, I'm just like, no, man. It's just I'm learning my history. I'm so excited about it. I want to share it with people, but as soon as you share it, you know what I'm saying, you kind of get, you know, pushed down, like, yo, you're trying to be fake woke out here. I hate that whole term, oh, you stay woke, oh, they try to, you know, antagonize you about it, but it's like we don't find any value in it, and when people actually try to give it to us, it's like, nah, I ain't going with that. Just give me my little Martin Luther King-like tip, a little Malcolm X-like, and I'm good with that. But anything that's telling me, you know, contrary to what I've been taught and assimilated to, I'm just going to reject it and call you something because you got to be something.
Well, that's part of the trust tax that we're going to culturally have to get around right now. Black history has been vilified to the point that people that kick black history are seen as idiots and fools. And, you know, a lot of those people have contributed to that negative perception. But I think one of the things that we're going to have to do at this point is I think it's going to have to start with the kids, and we're going to have to connect it to things of value. We're going to have to show them where everything that they have been taught is not necessarily accurate. And I think, like I said, it has to start with the kids. Adults, and I know a lot of people won't agree with this, but for the most part, if you over 21 and you're not at a level where I can talk to you, I don't try to talk to you. You know, I leave you. Because that's culturally what you've been brainwashed with, what you've been inculcated in, is not going to permit anything I say to permeate. Everything is going to be shut down. So the only option I see is going into the minds of those that haven't had that cultural barrier set up yet. Now, I do think we need to make black history cool. That is something that we could do better at, especially when we're in situations like today where there's so much happening racially and so many people are trying to do things. And, you know, you got all of these activists who got the activity portion down but don't have the historic portion at all. You know, those are the areas where we can begin to be more active, but I really think it has to start with the schools. It has to start with the kids, even to the point of Claudette Colvin. A lot of people don't know about Irene Morgan, who, you know, 10 years before Claudette, 11 years before Rosa Parks, she refused to give up her seat on the Greyhound bus. And not only did she refuse to give up her seat on the Greyhound bus, when they came to arrest her, she kicked the sheriff in the, she kicked the sheriff in the balls and fought the deputy. She pled guilty to resisting arrest, but refused to plead guilty for violating segregation law. Like, that was the first recorded incidence of someone being arrested for refusing to give up their seat and actually fighting it in court. So, and that's not even to say she was the first person to do it, but that was the first recorded incidence of someone fighting it in court, and of, especially of someone fighting off the sheriff. You know what I'm saying? Like, so imagine the power of that story. We're not talking about the Rosa Parks story. We take nothing away from the story or the situation or surrounding it. I know a lot of young girls look up to her as a hero. But you take the Rosa Parks story where, it, you know, she was, the whole situation was set up just so that they could go to court and fight the case. The entire situation was set up
right.
by that sole purpose.
Right.
And so you take that story, but then you compare it to this story of this woman who not only refused to give up her seat, but actually got in a fight with law enforcement. You like, how powerful of an image is that? You know what I'm saying? Like, so I just think, one, we have to make the stories meaningful. We have to really, like, it's not enough to just spew facts. You got to make the stories meaningful. So, like, for me, when I'm talking to my kids or any kids about Black history, I always start in the present because they're excited and they're interested in the present. And I work my way back until I see that they're no longer with me. And then I stop. I don't force the issue any further. You know, and I think we got to do that. Now, if you do want to work with adults, fine. There are plenty of things you can start with. Everything is connected to Black history in some way, shape, form, or fashion. You just have to know enough to connect the dots. But I think you start with the present, and we work our way back explaining it the same way you alluded to earlier when you talked about teaching it. That's the same way we reach these people, because everyone has a problem with something. And when you're talking to them about the problems they have with things, they're always going to be interested in the why. Why is it this way? Because that helps with the how. How do we fix it? So I think if we keep those things in mind as we're talking to people, we'll get further rather than trying to beat them over the head with facts. But I really think the core of it is going to be getting to these kids. We got to raise our kids to love who they are, to be interested in who they are. You got all this colorism going on, all of these other last vestiges of slave culture still lingering and existing in our communities. All of that stuff needs to be eliminated. Why are people running around saying, I'm tired of slave movies, we were more than just slaves? True, we were more than just slaves. But do you realize what it means to have that story in your blood? That means, in my opinion, argue with it all you want, Black people in America, in the Caribbean, in South America, are some of the strongest people, if not the strongest people on the planet. You're talking about a people who survived when they would cut off your balls and make hand toys out of them, when they were making slave skin wallets, when they were using navels as decorations. You're talking about a people that survived all of that, completely stripped of their culture, their language, their religion, their names, their family values, and we're still here. I want to know that story. You can tell me that story anytime you want, because that story makes me feel powerful. That's like the origin story for Superman. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying to go through all of that, that's like falling into a vat of acid and walking out. Tell me that story. But we have to begin to teach people that that story is a story of pride, a story of courage, a story of bravery, a story of family, a story of love, a story of commitment, a story of honor, a story of strength. You see what I'm saying? I think I'm rambling now, but somewhere in there, I hope I answered your question.
No, I get. But yeah, I think even to that with the slave moves, I know for me, I'm not saying don't show them, but there is a balance. But I also tell Black people this too, though. You know, you have a problem with the slave movies, but We have a lot of these free mediums to make our own shit, and we don't.
Well, Joe, real quick, I'm going to say this real quick and shut up. I want to clarify. I don't have a problem with slave movies. I love slave
movies.
Right,
you said that. I thought you made that pretty clear.
No, but what I want to clear up, right, is I do have a problem with victim movies. And I think far too often we have victim movies where we're waiting for a white hero to come save us.
Yeah.
I view those as different. There's a difference between a slave movie and a victim movie. 9 times out of 10, the victimization movies don't have very much fact in them. Mm. But there are a few movies out there that I feel like, you know, they're empowering movies, but there aren't enough of them. There's too much of this white savior shit going on in our films and productions. I'm sorry, that's all. Go ahead.
Well, I still haven't seen the Free State of Jones, but it just made me think of that. And also, even in Django, like, the white guy was like the savior, because if it wasn't for him, no, Django wouldn't have been able to do what he does. But I agree with that. The white savior movies have to go. But I think it's balance should be there. But I think we do too much complaining and depend on white Hollywood and white media to give us what we could be giving ourselves. Like, I could go out right now and create a movie on my cell phone. It may not be the greatest movie, but I can create a movie on my cell phone. But guess what? If people support it, maybe I can redo it and do it better. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We have too many free mediums. Like I just told you about the Greg Griot's YouTube channel. Or you can go to the Black Liberation University YouTube channel. You can go to On the Shows of Giants YouTube channel. You can go to Home Team History YouTube channel. Those are the four I could think of right now.
Yeah, you can go to PAX Inc. video section. We got videos up,
the
historic videos.
Yeah, go to PAXInc.com and go to the video section and go through all those videos. But also, even like a lot of the audio that's up there, I just went to YouTube and I just watched James Baldwin drag this white dude in this debate. Like, he drugged that white dude in this debate. So things like that, you can learn. Like, it's available, but I am tired of us on our end complaining about things that we can control. You mad at the Academy? Stop going to the Academy Awards. Stop expecting them and stop using that white stuff. And I understand, well, some people say, well, this is how they get better movies. But you can get better movies if we damn support ourselves. If we just do that, like, we have to stop depending and stop complaining. And damn it, because we're at a point now where we could do a lot for ourselves. We're at that point, but we just aren't.
And you know what? I'll just say this, like, as
you keep cutting
Pat
off.
About. Oh, I'm sorry, Pat.
Pat, you gotta turn your mic up.
No. Go.
My thing is, like, hearing all this about our history and support, it just, honestly, I think it boils down, we really gotta love ourselves, man. Just love being, like, when you wake up, matter of fact, forget waking up, when you were born, you weren't born with a title. But one thing you were born with was your black, beautiful skin. Love that. Support that. And let that boil over to what you support. And it's not saying that you got to be anti or, you know, against this or hate these type of people, but you got to love yourself. And when you won't even listen to your own history, you ridicule people who know their history, who try to share it with you, that just shows, like, you don't love yourself. Or something about you that you despise that makes you want to shun away this type of information or shun away people who are trying to progress and do things that benefit black people. And it doesn't mean I'm going to treat any other people different or anything like, but I love my people. I love being black. There's nothing wrong with me saying that. Like, if a white guy comes out, I love being white. You should. You're white. There's nothing you can do to change that. There's nothing that you can change to do to being black. Love that. Support that. And, it just sounds like we just really got to love ourselves. We just need a big hug and come together and love.
I agree.
Love. All right. I don't know where I came with that. Maybe I'm getting soft in my old age. But, God damn, man, love your damn self.
No, you
love
on
your people.
Point, though. You are 100% on point. Matter of fact, me and Joe had a show a couple years back where we talked about, you know, because nobody's in the titles nowadays. But let's be honest, titles aren't about how you see yourself. They're about how the world sees you. So you
Thank
can
you.
Claim a title all you want. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to sign one to you when I look at you. So
right.
You know what I'm saying? You can say, I'm not black all day. When the rest of the world looks at you, what do they see? That's how you get treated. You don't have to claim the title. It still affects your life. And I think one of the things we have to accept is you got drafted when you were born. You didn't get to choose your team. Your team chose you.
Yes.
Sorry, bro. And you don't get to opt out of the game. You're in the game. Sorry, bro. Deal with it.
Hey, we just need some real self-love. And it takes time. I'm not going to lie. Because right now you put some black people around some other black people, you know, they don't get nervous. I ain't gonna lie, you know, and rightfully so, some situations you know it's bad. That's I'm not saying go to the middle of the project and just say, hey, what's up, everybody, shake hands, you might get shot. Okay, let's not be stupid. But if I see Pat over here doing something positive, I shouldn't look or feel a certain way. I should immediately be attracted. Hey, you're doing something positive, you're doing something for the culture. How can I help? How can I be an assistance to you? And to me, that just comes back to love because, I don't know, man, I feel like what you put out in this universe will come right back to you. So if you really want to see your children do better, you want people to love your little black babies just the way you love them. But you got to put out that same love and love each other. You know, don't be afraid. I think we're afraid of each other. I think that, like, we are afraid of each other.
And we've been taught to devalue ourselves. And each other, we've been taught that, and we've internalized that, and we've passed that on. That's why we, like you said earlier, we're still dealing with the colorism. That's how you're still dealing with the colorism still to this day, because we've internalized that low self-esteem, that inferiority complex, and just passed it on from the next person to the next person. And we don't even know why we do it. Because a lot of people tell you, man, we do stuff just because it's tradition. Don't even think about it. And that's one of the biggest problems that we have when it comes to us, when you talk about us loving ourselves. Because this should be the month where self-love should be at its highest. But guess what? We did have the Remy Ma and Nicki Minaj beef drop in the middle of Black History Month. And everybody just lost their goddamn mind.
You know what, though, Joe? Like you said earlier, though, it's so much stuff happening in the middle of February. Like, it's the shortest month of the year. But it's got everything going on. The Super Bowl need to move back to the end of January. First off, let's get that out the way. It needs to move back. 9/11 was autumn years ago. It needs to move back. All right? So then you got the Oscars, the Grammys, all these award shows that pop up. And you got it's just so much going on. All-Star Weekend, so much happening in February. And, you know, the conspiracy theorist in me is like they're doing all that so that we don't have time to focus on Black history. But then you get back to what you guys have been saying, what Jamie said about self-love and what you said about respecting and everything else. If you're doing what you're supposed to do, you're studying your history year-round. But we know that that's not happening. But I don't know, man. It's just we got a lot of issues in our community. I will say this, Jamie. It depends on what hood you go into and how you say hey. Because I know I done been into a couple hoods, and I done, you know, just started walking up to people, and I'm fine. I ain't been shot. Now, if you go into a hood and be like, what's up, niggas, and all this other shit, especially if you white, or they don't know you, or whatever the case might be, yeah, you asking for trouble. But I love what you said earlier, Jamie, in terms of pride in who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, white people should have white pride. I don't get upset when I hear white pride. No, you should be proud. If I was white, I'd be proud. Now, there's a difference between pride and superiority. Those are two
exactly
different yes. words, two different concepts. But everybody should be proud of who they are. Black people don't own a monopoly on racial pride. And we shouldn't get mad at white people for being proud of being white. They should be proud of being white. Likewise, your ass need to be proud of being black. I don't get offended by white people saying they're proud of being white because I'm proud of being black.
And, yeah.
And
like,
oftentimes I interpret it just like that.
Even like when a white guy says, oh, I only date white women. Hey, do you? So? Like, that doesn't, yeah, like, so, okay, great. Like, I don't get, like, people, oh, what, so you don't, who cares? That, I mean, he's white. If he's attracted to what he looks like, that's normal. Like, I don't see anything wrong with that. Like, but, you know, we got to stop sensationalizing silly-ass stuff. Love yourself. Why you care he only dates white women? Who cares? Like, love yourself. Maybe you will feel the same way about your own damn people and not feel the need to do that. I don't want to go off on a tangent because I don't want nobody hating me saying I'm anti this or anti, but I'm just making a point when I say that. Love yourself. White people should love, Asian guys should love Asian people as you should as black people.
Fuck all that don't hate me shit. Look, I'm a black male. I find black women attractive, more attractive than any other woman on the planet, period. That's it. Like, and I've only ever considered marrying black women. That doesn't make me racist. That means that I have a preference for black women. You can call me prejudiced if you want, but I also don't like chocolate ice cream. So I'm prejudiced against chocolate ice cream, too. You know what I'm saying? I also don't like certain kinds of cheese. So I'm prejudiced against those kinds of cheese, too. Like, you know, like, why is it cool for you to be prejudiced against one thing and not another if we're going to use the word in a negative term? I don't care if people get mad at me for saying that I'm attracted to black women more than I'm attracted to any other race of woman. I don't care. That's my choice. Especially if white women or white people get mad. I'm not trying to marry y'all anyway. That's what I just said.
Hey, man. You got a problem?
Hold on. Go ahead, Joe. I got an angle I want to throw at you fellas. Go ahead, Joe.
If you got a problem that I like black women and only black women, you can kiss my ass.
Oh,
that's all I got to say about that.
Facts. All right, so here's something I want to throw at you guys in regards to history, and give me an honest opinion. So y'all know me, man. I'm always go off on this tangent, and I don't even want to say it because I already know y'all probably feel where I'm coming from. So I had somebody tell me, you know, a religious person. I'm not going to say the religion because people always think I'm beating up on Christians. A religious person. Religious person say, oh, I'm deeply religious, but I also study my history too, da-da-da-da-da-this. And I was asking, I was just like, well, if you study your history, wouldn't at one point you be at odds with your religion in history? And what I found out is this person only studied the history of pretty much African Americans post-slavery. They didn't really go back and reach back to the continent of Africa. They just studied everything post-slavery because it was kind of Christian-based, if you will. But anything prior to that, that maybe told the truth and contradicted what they were taught to believe, they shied away from that part of history. What is your take on that?
Well, I mean,
it's weird, right?
Well, I guess I would ask you this. What were your expectations from them by asking them or by even engaging that conversation about them knowing their history? What were your expectations?
I went into it. I'm kind of, like, I be trolling people on the low. I'm not going to lie. I troll because I already know where it's coming from. I just want to hear it. That way I can get, you know, sometimes I carry on conversations that I know are going to end bad, but I just do it anyway. So I had no expectations. I just wanted to know how can you really truly say you studied history of African people globally, but still say, you know, you're devout this or devout that.
So that person made that specific statement that they studied African history globally?
No. Well, I used the globally part. What I found out is they only really studied the African history post-slavery in America. They didn't go back and reach the continent. And that's when it made sense. Okay, now I can see how you can say that, because if you actually went back and looked at the continent, at some point you had to, you know, like, yo, this ain't matching up X, Y, and Z. So it's just, I don't know, history and religion. I think a lot of times, you know, these devout religious people, they don't necessarily want to reach all the way back into history because they feel like they're going to find stuff that's going to challenge their faith and make them question their faith.
Well, they ain't real Christians then.
Well,
shit, I mean, that's simply
plain. I have
my
own opinion on that. I don't think anybody is, but...
I mean, I'm put to you like this. If you call yourself devout in any faith, and if anything that you read will cause you to shake up that faith, well, you're not that devout within that faith. But now, if you are an open-minded person, if you're a person who is a part of a certain religion, but you go into the studying of knowledge knowing that this may not be the only answer, understanding that this is one version of the story, and then you learn more, then that's something different. But if you like, this is it, because there's a lot of people who think that the Bible is actual history, and so people will tell you that they know black history, but they're talking about, like you said, the history, slavery and post-slavery, and also what they call black biblical history. So since to them the Bible is a real history book, I'm put to you like this. If you arguing with somebody who think that the Bible is a real history book, then that's your fault for even getting into that conversation with them about history.
True.
I think there's a fear component with knowledge, period. You know, and a lot of that I think is fostered in the church. And I know people will get mad when you say that, but I honestly think that, you know, if you spend too much time in the wrong church, especially these churches where they will tell you not to ask questions, or they
Jacob
will
Chapel.
Tell you that certain knowledge is sacred, you know, and is only for God to know. And, you know, like those doctrines were created back when people really just didn't know, and they got tired of being asked. So they just start, you know, they just made up some shit. You know, God don't want us to know that. Well, just because you ain't figured it out yet doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to know. Now, utilizing knowledge and knowing knowledge are two different things. I do think there is information that is out there that is fine to know, but when you start trying to utilize it, you run into an area that's bad. But to get back to the question, I think a lot of that is just fear and being raised to accept ignorance as a good thing. You know what I'm saying?
Not to question.
Ignorance is bliss. You hear all of these little cute sayings like that, and you know it started in, you know, it starts with the church. Don't ask the pastor questions, and, you know, don't question the sermons. You see it at the homes now where parents are telling their kids, don't ask me no questions, just do what I say, and blah, blah, blah. And we don't think about the long-term ramifications of what that does, you know. So now you have a kid, and because you didn't want to act, because you didn't feel like answering a question, you stunted their intellectual growth. You know, you see the same thing in church. Now, because you didn't want to say, I don't know, because you felt like that would make you less of a man of God, you know, you tell them not to ask you any questions, that stunts their spiritual growth. You know, so I think, and that's part of our culture that has kind of gotten in the way of a lot of things. So now you have these people who you can't even... I was talking to somebody the other day, and I told them there's a group of people that actually believe that Jesus got down off the cross and actually had a baby with Mary Magdalene, and that his bloodline continues. When I tell you that, I thought their head was going to explode. Like, they didn't say anything for like a good 20, 30 seconds. They was just staring at me like, you know, like, what the fuck? Like, I had just destroyed their whole world. Here's the interesting part. They didn't even ask me for a source or where I got it from or anything. So now your head is about to explode because I said something that was different than what you believed. And you think about how dangerous that type of mentality is. And then the type of fear that is in people that want to prevent them from even having conversations like that. You know what I'm saying? I think all that ties in.
And I agree with that. I think the fear factor of it all, because I get in conversations with people, just casual conversations, and to me, like, you lose me in any type of conversation, debate, when you say, "With all I know is the Bible." That when you say "all I know is," that just means I'm accepting whatever ignorance I do have, and I'm relying on it. And my thing is, when it comes to facts, things that are actually proven, it's one thing that the ancient Egyptians did very well, is leave back a documented history of whatever the hell they wanted to say. When you can actually see something, prove something, and it's fact, meaning it's non-controversial, and you just say, you know what, I'm going to reject it because all I know is, to me, that's like one of the most dangerous things, and you're pretty much just, you're just saying, I don't want to know the truth. I just want to know the truth that I've been taught and that I currently believe. And when and you parallel that to us learning our history, eventually, if you truly out here studying these books, you get into, you know, Anthony Browder, you get into Dr. Ben's work, there's going to be a point, if you actually study it, that you're going to run into a roadblock and say, yo, this doesn't match up to what I was taught. And I think that fear of, you know, hey, if I learn this, then just I'm going to go to hell because da-da-da-da, you know, that has been drilled in us so hard that when it comes to our history in the continent of Africa and it keeps going back, we don't want to learn that because this, I don't know, man. It just has fear on it that if you learn this and accept it, you're going to hell.
Even on this continent, we only want to learn the safe history. We only want to learn the history that don't show us, because people are all on this tolerance and this diversity, all these things, which is straight bullshit, because there ain't no real tolerance, no diversity. No, intersectionality my ass. So how come all these intersectional groups ain't mad that the water in Flint still fucked up?
True.
I'm just saying. Well, how come when we have real issue, but see, even aside of that, just focusing on us. I'm scrolling through social media and I'm seeing that and I ain't trying to tell nobody how to spend their money, but I'm seeing that Chance the Rapper and the Game renting out theaters. Buying out theaters so people can come watch the Get Out movie for free. Why y'all ain't do this with Nat Turner? I'm just saying, like why wasn't that done with it? That should have been done for the Nat Turner movie, despite how you feel about Nate Parker. That ain't got nothing to do with Nat Turner. Like Nat, that story is a very important story. That's way more important than goddamn Get Out. But it's stuff like that, and we wonder why we still here having these conversations, asking these questions. And once again, I ain't trying to tell nobody how to spend their money, but I'm just saying, God dang, you know, even Hidden Figures could have done that for Hidden Figures. But you
make a great point with that though, Joe.
That was really an excellent point.
And I do like. One other thing, I want to go back to a question Jamie asked earlier and tie it into what we're talking about now. I want to talk about this term cognitive dissonance, and then I'm going to shut up and let you get back to that excellent point. Because there are a lot of people out there right now talking about that want to spread what we're doing now, but they have a bad idea of what cognitive dissonance is. So you'll get to a point where you taught some or you said something somebody wasn't expecting, and it builds on this fear thing that we talked about earlier, and they shut you down. And then instead of leaving gracefully or maybe, you know, leaving a seed there, you just say, well, you're, you know, cognitive dissonance, and you walk away. I just want to make this point. Cognitive dissonance is what we want as educators, as historians, as people that have researched and have facts to back up what we say. You want cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance is not a bad thing. Cognitive dissonance is when someone is forced to make a decision because the information that you're presenting is different from the information they have. That stress that situation caused is cognitive dissonance itself. What's happening is people are being forced to choose. Do I accept the new information or do I hold on to the bad information? So we want cognitive dissonance as people that speak on things that we speak on. We have to make sure that we speak on it in such a way that the choice that they make is more inclined to be in favor of the new information versus in favor of retaining the old information. And I'll tell you what, I've been remarkably successful at navigating people through cognitive dissonance to a new way of thinking just by talking to them like they're adults. So with that, I'm going to shut up again. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe. When we were talking about fear and you was talking about the other things, cognitive dissonance popped in my head because I see a lot of people in the conscious community running around talking about cognitive dissonance as if it's a bad thing. No, cognitive. If you get somebody to the point where they're experiencing cognitive dissonance, you've done a good job to that point. The decisions they make after they get to that point will determine how well you actually presented your argument.
You know, and not to beat a dead horse, but it's just we got to get out of the fear. Like we jump on the MLK bandwagon as if like Michael Eric Dyson literally said that Martin Luther King was the greatest African in the history. You know, even of this country, and I'm like, how the hell do you how do you put that together? Like, how can you say what Martin Luther King did was better than what anybody else? Like, how? Like, seriously, like, and I'm not trying to go tit for tat, but Harriet Tubman and William Steele literally freed people, not figuratively, but literally feed people. And I'm not even saying that they are the greatest. So how the hell do you say that? Like, how can you take that, not taking anything away from Dr. King, but there's no such thing as the greatest person, the greatest black person, the greatest civil rights hero. Like you can't say Martin Luther King is the greatest because the women created the platform for him to have.
You know, even beyond that, when you start talking about the women like the Ella Bakers and all of these other people.
Nobody know who Mary Ella Baker is.
But see, the crazy part is, and again, not to take anything away from Dr. King's legacy, the man died for what he believed in. And that has to be honored and respected, regardless of how you feel about what they believed in. And Dr. King is definitely somebody that's a powerful figure. But even in the movie Selma, they had one statement in there that was so accurate. When he was in there arguing with the SNCC boys, and he said, "You all focus on uplifting, elevating black consciousness. I focus on elevating white consciousness." That right there, for me, solidifies why I think as black people we should be learning about other figures. If white people want to learn and praise Dr. Martin Luther King, let them. He was, for all intents and purposes, theirs. He worked to get them to see us different. He worked to get them to change their minds about how they felt about us. And that did have an indirect benefit for us. But we as a people need to be celebrating people that worked for us, like the Rube Fosters, who built leagues, like the Malcolm X, who didn't really have any time or patience for white people. He was all about building stuff for black people, like the Marcus Garveys, who built things for black people in multiple nations. You know, we need to be focused on those people on a national level, as a community, as a culture group, and on a local level, every community has local heroes that built things for black people. We need to be more focused on the people that were focused on black empowerment than we are on the people that were focused on getting white people to be nicer. Let white people celebrate them. And that's not to take anything away from Dr. Martin Luther King, but I can respect the man and still critically analyze what he did and what he stood for. And as black people, we damn sure need to do a lot more of that.
Man, we can criticize anybody that we feel like we need to criticize. It's important. But we can't glamorize people just because the white damn media tell us to glamorize people. Like, they continue to give us our heroes, and we continue to accept it. They continue to tell us what history is, and we continue to accept it. They continue to tell us, like, even to the point to, hey, they have so many black people thinking that Africa is not a good place to be, while the rest of the world is breaking their neck to get to Africa. You know, we need to learn about the history, black history in America, and we need to learn about black history outside of America. We need to learn about black history before America. We need to know the whole stories, but I do think with a lot of these generations, you have to make it personable. You have to start somewhere, and you have to start. You're not going to be able to start the same place with each group of people. So we have to start, but we have to know our people better so we can know where to start. And we can't force information down people's throat.
But I do want people to recognize that since information is available, it is on us to take that and know who we are. And because we continue not to, that's why we keep continuously going through the same cycles and having the same issues, because we don't take the time to know who we are. It's Black History Month. Let's stop falling for the distractions. I don't give a shit about NBA. The NBA is not helping Black America get better. The NFL is not helping Black America better. Neither are the Oscars or the Grammys or Valentine's Day or Nicki Minaj or Remy Martin or any other of these crazy things that we've given our attention to. And it's the last day of Black History Month, and we've still yet to learn too much new about ourselves. And that's the sad thing. And remember, Black history happened every day. So let's just don't be confined to these 28 days.
Exactly. That's my final piece. Like, make it a point to make, just get a book. Find a book, research something, you know, put down 50 Shades of Grey. That ain't going to teach you nothing to add any value to your life. Read a book, you know, about your history at least once every 2 months or something, once a quarter, however you break it down. But don't let it be just February. That's all I need. I got my black fix. I got my black history fix. I'm good. Make it be continual and make it a process, because it's not easy. Like, nobody on this line going to sit here and tell you that we're masters at something. We're all students of it. It's just, you know, as we gain more knowledge, we want to share it. But, make it a process. Be a student of this history. And I'll be quite honest with you, I don't know all the history. I'm never going to claim to know it all, but I'm every day, or, you know, I'm trying to learn something new, apply something new, and not just learn the information so you can go make a status about it. Learn these lessons, learn these teachings, learn these facts, these statistics, whatever the case may be, and apply them to your life. It's pointless to read a whole book by somebody that's presenting new information for you to just say, nah, what's the point? Why'd you even pick up the book? If it's new information, research it, and if you find it credible, apply that information to your life in some way, shape, or form. Let it change you. Let it transform you, whatever the case may be. That's my bit. Keep doing it. Keep going, people. We got this.
I will say this, though. Let me say this, because we got too many teachers or people who think they teach. Just because you learn something new, don't go out there trying to teach other people what you just learned and don't understand and you haven't applied and experienced. Like, experience, apply it first before you go out. Gain real understanding. Seek the counsel of your elders. Just because you come across a book or learn something on YouTube don't mean you're ready to go out there and teach. Everybody is not a teacher. So when you find yourself out there in arguments with people, that's because your ass don't know how to teach. And that's because you don't know how to approach people with that information.
Surround yourself with good people that actually, like, anytime I read something new that I go off on a tangent with in my mind, I put it right, hey, Pat, Joe, what do you think about this, man? Give me some ideas. Give me a different perspective, because this is what I'm thinking. Run those thoughts. Don't be afraid to have those conversations with other like-minded people. Iron sharpens iron. If you round a bunch of butter knives, change your damn group to some Genzus and start sharpening yourself. Bounce those thoughts. Like, it's random-ass stuff I'll just come up with that I think about, and I just want to heat check myself, make sure I'm not crazy. And I run it past, you know, my brothers, my peers, that are giving me some solid feedback, honest feedback. And that's a way I grow and I get new ideas and I get perspective. And critical thinking is a part of this. When you're reading this history, you got to honestly think critically about this stuff. Like, okay, the bus boycotts, whatever the case may be. What was something they did that was really, you know, made this go? What was something that, hey, maybe we can apply to today that, you know, parallels what they did? Think critically about these things. Whatever you do, whatever you learn, be critical of it, because in that you'll learn a lot and you appreciate a lot more because you're teaching it to yourself. That's my last bit. I promise. Pat, you got it.
No, I mean, I'm good with everything that has been said. I do, you know, Joe put out the websites, On the Shoulders of Giants, the PAX website. You know, the calendar is a great place to start. In terms of,
like, tell them more about the calendar.
Shameless plug there.
calendar, get your plug in.
Is the 2017 Black the Way You Came, codes and conduct calendar, And basically what it is it's a calendar specifically designed for black people, with filled with black history, filled with some tools you can use to socially engineer yourself, your family, and your community into being better providers and stewards of your communities. And that's all out there, and you can get it from the PACS website, www.pacpsinc.org. You can either go dash store, or you can click on the codes, and there'll be a drop down that says calendar, and that'll take you to the calendar in the store as well. So definitely get the calendar. Is $21.95, but that includes shipping and tax, so that's the price, period, no matter where you are. If you order it off the website, you'll have it at your front door in about a week. And it is, you know, like, it's a great tool for teaching. It's a great tool for learning. I use it to teach my kids stuff all the time. You know what I'm saying? We've been going through it since I got it the beginning of this month. We've been going through it every single day, reading something. They've been writing paragraphs on the birthdays in there. Like I said, it's just a great tool for black history. It's something that you can look at, and it'll remind you every day you look at it that you need to be doing something to learn something about black history. And you ain't got no choice, because it's black history all over the damn thing. So just looking at it, you're going to learn something, shit.
Right. Okay, and my last point, my last thing, black people, let's stop being damn stupid. Let's stop being crazy. Let's stop doing stuff because it's damn trendy, man. Take off these goddamn, don't follow these stupid ass celebrities putting on these hoodies with Trayvon name across. George Zimmerman is still walking around thriving. Let me say that again. George Zimmerman is still walking around thriving. You putting on a hoodie in memory of Trayvon means nothing. You putting Sandra Bland's profile picture as your profile picture means nothing. You're still not doing any real work. I'm not saying you got to go out and kill nobody, but we're still not doing any real work in our communities to make our communities safer. Black people still refuse to come together and work together. Don't come, man, take off them goddamn hoodies. Take the profile pictures off. Take off all the, I don't care how many Say Your Name songs, like Janelle Monae and them, all the people they made the Say Your Name, Say Their Name songs, but you don't do anything to make black America better as a whole. We're still not working as a whole. Stop with the stuff that bring the camera. Stop with the popularity stuff. Stop with these fake mentor groups. Stop with all this other bull and get serious and get real, because until we do that, we're going to be here talking about the same damn issues, having the same thing, and we're so messed up that we take any crumb that anybody gives us and run with. God damn, man. Damn. moral victories are not real victories. True. They're not real. Stop falling for the stupidness, man. We need real results. We need real change. You putting on a hoodie with Trayvon's name across it means nothing. And I bet not hear another rapper put out a song about killing somebody when George Zimmerman is still walking around karate chopping everybody in the neck. That's my rant.
Right in the neck. Oh, hey, man. Joe, before we go, one correction. Follow us on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. No underscore no more. Just at Freedom Train Network. Yeah, I changed it, man. We going global. We a network now.
Okay. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Freedom Train Network.
At Freedom Train Network. Make it simple. Follow us. But that's all I got, man. That was good, though. Stop being stupid, black people. Joe said it, not me.
Oh, yeah, I said it, and I said it again. I said it to your face. Hey, man. It's been real, man. Y'all be cool. Stay black. Stay proud. And let's get empowered and build ourselves up. Until next time, peace. Thank you.